This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Dennis Reese. With so many homeowners struggling just to make the mortgage payment each month, it's hard to know how to prioritize home improvement projects. Rip out and replace that hideous green carpeting the previous homeowners must have purchased to match the front lawn. Build a walk-in closet. Add a double-decker wraparound deck. Or just repair the leaky roof. It's Home Improvement Day on Talk of Iowa. And Bill McAnally of Iowa Central Community College is here to answer your questions. And we've been told that he might recommend that you spend any available funds first on improving your home's energy efficiency. Stay with us. Home Improvement Day begins in a few minutes after Iowa Public Radio and NPR News. Six and a half past ten. I'm Dennis Reese. Welcome to Talk of Iowa. It's Home Improvement Day on the program with Bill McAnally of Iowa Central Community College. Bill, hello.
Good morning. How are you?
What are you doing? You're at a convention, I guess, right?
Yeah. We're at, brought one of the other instructors in the Carby program and some students to the Momentum is Building Conference. It's an annual conference put on by electric cooperatives down in Des Moines every year, and they're the keynote speaker starts here. I think he's already started, and I'm actually in the eighth floor looking out at some snow. This is a great place to be talking from.
Oh, no, you're missing the keynote speech. I feel really bad about
it. Oh, that's okay. I've heard him before.
Okay. Well, party time for you, right?
You bet.
Yeah, okay, Bill. I'm sure you are well-behaved.
Yeah, you know, I can't believe they must not have checked who I was because they gave me a hair dryer. I have really no hair to dry, but I have a hair dryer in here. I'm not used to these kind of digs.
Well, I hope you have a good time and you can get back to the proceedings once our broadcast here is over. But it is Home Improvement Day. We'll take your calls this hour, 866-780-9100, or email us at talkofiowa, one word, at iowapublicradio.org. So, Bill, I'm reading this article in Smart Money magazine, and it says homeowners who have some money left over for home improvements, there must be a few that have a few dollars left over somewhere out there, should one splurge, go ahead with that Italian marble bathroom with an extra phone by the toilet or something, or take the pragmatic approach to let's concentrate on energy efficiency, fixing the leaky roof. I have a feeling I know what your answer is going to be.
Yeah, yeah, that's pretty easy. I've never really understood investing in some things like real high dollar, you know, countertops. They look pretty and everything, but you know they hold dishes just as well as some stuff that's $5 a running foot. So, it's a mindset of what kind of a lifestyle we want to have, whether we want to be kind of brazen and glitzy or be more pragmatic, as you said.
Well, the article did say that the basic knowledge here for home for people thinking about spending some money on improving their home is to focus on the kitchen first, the kitchen being the heart of the house, and money you spend on the kitchen recouping 78% of its cost. So that's a good place to start. But if you do have a leaky roof, I think maybe that should be first, right?
Yeah. You want to be looking at, you know, first of all, you want to protect the home, whether it be the roof, you know, the windows, you know, making sure that the water stays out of your basement and your house is, you know, it's dry, it's comfortable, it's quiet, and it's, you know, it's a nice place to go to at the end of the day. In the kitchen, I'm glad you brought up the kitchen. You know, there's a new program coming out, rebates on appliances. I think it starts March 1st. If I was going to replace my appliances, I would be doing it now, because if you can replace a dishwasher, range, refrigerator, and you get a very substantial rebate. I was talking with a gentleman the other day, and he looked up, you know, $500 rebate on an energy efficient Energy Star refrigerator. Well, you know, that's close to half the price. So, you know, I think now is a good time to start looking at that. I, you know, myself, we really noticed a difference in our our electric bill when we changed out from our original, you know, appliances we got when we were married back in the 70s and you know, bought some Energy Star appliances, and it really made a difference, not to mention they performed a lot better.
I had to replace a dryer, and when we were at Sears, I noticed that there's no Energy Star classification for dryers, unfortunately.
Well, you know, it's there's actually supposed to be, but you know, when you get the high efficiency set that like LG or Maytag, they're very, very efficient. They're so much better than they used to be.
That's good to know. Now, is this energy rebate for, this is for Iowa residents only, right?
Yes.
And it must you are you required to purchase an appliance that's manufactured here in Iowa?
I don't know if you are or not. I don't believe so. It'd be pretty tough. You know, there's, and it's really hard to tell what the origination point is on a lot of appliances anyway.
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. Well, let's go to the phones. We have callers already waiting, Bill. Let's talk first to Sean, who is calling from Johnston. Hi, Sean.
It's Sharon.
All right. Sorry about that.
Good morning, and I really enjoy the show. I have two quick questions. I have a backsplash that's on the northwest corner of my kitchen walls, and every winter the caulking breaks loose, and I have to repair it every spring and summer. Is there any solution to that? And then my second question is there any company that builds small energy efficient homes in a controlled environment in the central Iowa area?
I'm trying to think if All America Homes, if they build a smaller one, there's so many packages available. I don't know what packages they have. I think they've downsized some of them. I believe Wausau, out of Wausau, Wisconsin, I believe they build some as well. They were very active in energy efficiency and indoor air quality. Oh boy, you know, 10, 15 years ago, they were really pushing that in their manufacturer. I went up there had a meeting with Wausau Builders, but the All America Homes, the one that I know of is over in Dyersville, but I believe that they're starting to market those and really looking at, you know, what your total square footage really needs to be to live comfortably. You know, most of our houses are newer ones, myself included. Our houses are way too big. But, you know, I would really do some research. I would just, get on the internet and Google, just type in affordable manufactured housing and or energy efficient manufactured housing, and you should pull up quite a bit of information. On your first question, you know, the house is how old is your house?
It was built in 2005.
Yeah, you know, and there's in 2005, you know, even then, a lot of times the houses will go through some expansion and contraction. You know, so they'll take on a little bit of moisture, and then they'll let the moisture go. So sometimes the walls will move a little bit around. You know, they'll just crack a little bit. So what you want to do is get a good caulking that when you go to the store, you know, explain the situation. Say, I need an elastomeric type of caulking, which means that it will expand and contract, but yet adhere to the wall surface.
Mm-hmm.
And to the top of your backsplash, and make sure that both surfaces are just super clean before you put the caulking on.
Okay.
Because a lot of those caulkings, they really tend to dry out as well. You know, I've bought the really cheap caulking before, and I had the same issue. You know, all of a sudden, gee whiz, you know, a year later, it's so doggone brittle, it won't stick to anything. So you really want to get something preferably that has some silicone in it.
Silicone, and it's called
elastomeric. And if you just tell them I need something, it's going to expand and contract, but yet still to both surfaces.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, Sharon, I promise I won't call you Sean again. But thank you. Thanks a lot for the call.
Mm-hmm.
We have an email now from Alan, and he writes, after noticing plaster and paint puckering and cracking around the upstairs wall and ceiling seam, I checked outside, and saw that sliders had neglected to extend one slat about 2 inches to meet the window outside the house, exposing that flimsy green stuff underneath. Would that be enough to let rain and snow and moisture get inside?
Yes, it sure will. You know, that seems to be where a lot of our moisture ends up getting into houses is if they're not flashed correctly. We've really learned how to flash windows just in the last probably 10 years. We all, you know, and I say all of us, it seemed like most of the builders, you know, we put them in just as we were taught. And as new products came along, we didn't take advantage of some of the new flexible type flashings and sealants that we can use to keep water out from around windows. And it's just, you know, they have to go back and really look at how to shed that water away from the window. And the last thing you want to rely on is caulking. You know, it's kind of like Sharon's question. You know, if you depend on caulking to keep water out from behind a window, let's say you put a window in and you caulk around it, well, and you throw some siding over it, in a year it could be cracking, just like in Sharon's case, even though it was inside. And so water can get backed up. Wind will drive if you get a wind of 10 miles an hour, it'll drive moisture and water up siding 1 inch. So if you get a 40 mile an hour gust, it's pushing water up 4 inches in that and behind the siding. And so you really have to make sure that that's installed correctly. I'd have them come back and take a look at that.
So we've only learned about this in the last 10 years or so, how to do this.
Well, you know, it's a lot of these newer type tapes and things that have come out. Some in the beginning were, you know, a little brittle. The newer ones are attaching very well to, like, say, foam sheeting or oriented strand board or plywood behind walls. But we really didn't look at what happens when we have wind, what happens with water. Water, you know, will just hang on the edge of siding. And, you know, if people say, well, the siding will keep the water out from my house, well, you know, look on the bottom of vinyl siding and all you see is holes to let the moisture that condenses behind the siding out. So, you know, we rely too much, I think, on we see brick, we see siding that it's going to keep the water out from our wall. Well, it's not unless it's installed correctly. You know, even brick. You put water on brick and the sun comes out and the heat energy drives that vapor right through the brick and it recondenses on the backside and then drips between the wall and the bricks and it can possibly find its way inside.
Great. Well, I want to go to Jeff, but I think Greg, rather, in Cedar Rapids. Greg, hang in there. I'll go to take your call here after the break because we're getting close to a break. And we'll continue our conversation with Bill McAnally, Director of the Industrial Technology Program at Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge. Bill's at his conference in Des Moines. We appreciate him taking the time to talk to our Iowa Public Radio listeners. 866-780-9100. We have lines open now. 866-780-9100 or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Home Improvement Day continues on Talk of Iowa. I'm Dennis Reese with Bill McAnally, head of the Iowa Central Community College Industrial Technology Program. Bill's at his conference in Des Moines. Well, Bill, you can get back to your proceedings there at 11 o'clock as soon as we're finished, but we have people who want to talk to you, of course.
Well, they have great donuts down there, too. I'm missing out. Don't forget that.
No. And you're missing the donuts. Oh,
yeah.
Man, that hurts. Greg is in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you today?
Great, how are you?
Great. Three things I wanted you to comment on. We have a 10-year-old house, and we went from a black roof to the lightest color that you can get of shingles. And we don't even have to run our air conditioner now. And in the summer, when it gets really hot, we just close all the windows so the humidity won't come in. And then we redid our kitchen with all white appliances, and it makes it so much brighter, and you can see the dirt when the appliances are dirty. And then thirdly, in the winter, these houses are so airtight that it just seems like there isn't as much oxygen coming in, and so I just shut off the furnace and open the windows for a while, and just to bring in good fresh air, because the air really gets stale. What do you think of all these things?
Well, as far as the white roof, that's you know, really shows common sense on your part. You know, it's just that we're so used to seeing a dark colored roof, and that's what sells, and that's what people like, is that look from the street. But when you have a light colored roof, like you say, sure, your attic is going to be much cooler, and will affect your insulation or will affect your utility bills. Now, the air inside, if your home is built fairly tight whatsoever, it needs, even by code, to have ventilation inside that house, mechanical ventilation. It should not be anywhere near that tight or stuffy that you have to open the windows to bring in air. Every new home that we've built since the 80s, has either a heat recovery ventilation system or an energy recovery ventilation system. And all that is it brings the stale air from bathrooms, kitchen, laundry through its own ductwork and runs through a unit. Then it exhausts that stale air out side. It pulls fresh air back in. Now, in that unit, that heat recovery ventilator, what it does is it transfers the heat energy. The air doesn't touch each other. It just transfers the heat energy that you would normally be exhausting outside and brings, when the fresh air comes from inside, transfers that heat over to the fresh air, and then you have fairly warm air coming from outside. But usually our houses, when we would test them, extremely, extremely tight. You wouldn't possibly be able to live in them. But when you put ventilation and it's put in correctly, you have a leak in your house probably than any house in the neighborhood, except you're controlling the leakage and you're not losing so much of the heat energy out of it. You know, you can control your humidity in the house with the units, but the nice thing is you're bringing in you know, a lot of times you're bringing in every hour, you're bringing in let's say one-third of all the air in the house is being exchanged every hour.
Well, I'm just a fresh air fanatic.
That's what it is. It's bringing in fresh air.
Well, I don't know if my house has that or not. How can you tell?
Well, it should. You know, it's a unit that's sitting probably down. Do you have like a high-efficiency gas furnace?
Right.
Yeah, it should be hanging off the ceiling somewhere in that area. It's roughly 2 foot by 3 foot. And it's a box hanging off the ceiling with ductwork running out of it.
Are they really expensive to put in?
Well, I don't feel they are when I look at the whole house and, you know, I'm actually going to live in it. They're, you know, anywhere between $1,500 and $2,000.
Uh-huh.
But it kind of goes back to, you know, earlier on, I can spend that on some granite countertops and, you know, they're not going to make me any healthier.
Well, that white, not white, but it's a light gray roof with little specks of coloring in it.
Sure.
That it just makes my, believe me, it makes my house look better because I have real light brick on the front. And even the roofers up there, when they got the black roof off and started putting on the other, they said they could tell the difference even on top of the roof.
Oh, yeah. You do. Your feet aren't hot. That's where you notice it is. I used to hate shingling a dark colored roof because my feet would just be burning up, you know, in the middle of the afternoon from the heat off the shingles.
Well, the federal government is now thinking about making that mandatory, much lighter roofs because it's so much more energy efficient.
We just we're finishing up a new library and student services building on campus, and it is a low pitched roof and it's all white. And you can't even tell the difference between it and the snow right now. And that's why we put that on there, because of the cooling load. We did not want a high cooling load with a black roof.
Now, you said Iowans are not accepting of white roofs. It lowers the
we're
value.
Just, you know,
what's wrong with it?
You drive through a neighborhood and you'll see, well, a lot of covenants even in some subdivisions require they used to call it like a wood blend or something, you know, like light browns, dark browns. it kind of goes back to the 60s. People my age especially look back at white roofs, and all we thought of was the cheapest possible roof that you could put on, and you saw the white shingles. It's just a mindset. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all it is. There's no reason why we don't have white shingles.
And we need to change our thinking.
We do.
Greg, I hope that answer all of your questions.
You did a great job.
Okay,
that's
thanks.
Good. That's good. Thanks.
All right, yeah. Greg. Thanks a lot. Greg calling from Cedar Rapids. Let's go next to Charlotte, who is in Charles City. Hi, Charlotte. Well, just a minute. Hold on here. I'll do this. Now we're going to try Charlotte. Charlotte, are you there?
I am.
You are on the air. Go ahead.
Okay. Here's our question. My question. We had a sunroom put in last year, and the south end is all windows. We had energy efficient windows put in. I can't tell you. There were Pella windows that crank out. We also bought the types of, I guess you call them shades or blinds that have when they're up all the way, they're very, very narrow. You can barely see them, but they're accordion. They come down. They're insulated. We've found this year, particularly, we notice it more this year, that at night we lower those when it gets dark, but in the morning we'll have a real layer, a thick layer, like 2 inches up of frost on the inside.
Right.
Now, does that mean those windows are leaking, or is no. I'm concerned about the wood rotting from the moisture.
Yeah, you want to raise those before you go to bed. You want to raise those up a couple inches. What's happening is, you know, the windows can only do so much, you know, especially when it's, you know, as cold as it's been getting.
Right.
When you lower the blinds all the way, you've basically kind of trapped that air in between the blinds and the window. And then the warm air that's circulating in your room, you know, when your heating system is running and the air
right.
is circulating, it can't get over to that glass and warm that surface up. And so to warm the surface up, you have to raise the blinds up maybe 3 or 4 inches so the air can get back in there and keep the inside surface of the window warm enough so there's no condensation.
Okay, so the blinds are almost working too well, aren't they?
Yeah. We learned that, too, back in the 70s, that there was a product. I tell you, a really neat one was they call them it was window blanket or something like that. They came out of Vermont. And a guy out in Montana, he put them in, and he had them in a big picture window, and they were so tight that he came home one day and his window was laying out in his front yard because the heat built up so much between that blind and the picture window that it blew the glass out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that was pretty neat.
Yeah, really. Okay, that's what we'll do. We'll just raise them up, and hopefully that'll eliminate that problem, and we won't lose too much heat out that area either.
No. Just, you know, it should help a lot, and you may have to – you know, maybe run, you can get those deflectors on the vents and maybe shoot a little bit more air onto the window when it gets really, really cold.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
all right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Charlotte, for the call. Let's try to get a quick email in here before the break. Dan and Sloan writes, okay, Dan and Sloan, I'm thinking of building a detached 25x30 garage workshop. What is your opinion of frost-free foundations in Northwest Iowa? Are they well accepted?
They're not only well accepted, Northwest Iowa is the first part of the state to really use them, especially the Spirit Lake, Iowa area. They originally started in Europe, came to Canada, and then Americans finally got smart and thought, you know, maybe it'll work down here too. In fact, half of my house is shallow frost-free foundation, and we did a Building America home a few years ago with Iowa State University that half of that is shallow frost-free foundation. I think you know, it's a really, really good foundation, and if you really want a nice shop, is tandem that foundation with radiant floor heat.
Okay, great.
Oh, man, that's my dream.
And you live in Northwest Iowa, you should know.
Yeah, because it came from Canada. That's why it works so well, especially in Iowa. We're fairly temperate compared to them.
We'll take a break and be back in 5 minutes. Talk of Iowa continues. I'm Dennis Reese, Home Improvement Day with Bill McAnally from Iowa Central Community College, head of the Industrial Technology Program. Bill, I hope you had a chance to go grab some donuts at your convention there during the break.
I was thinking of having room service, but that's on those incidental costs that I would have to cover.
Right, yeah. Okay. Well, the donuts may still be there at 11 o'clock. We hope. 866-780-9100. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And we have some emails. And so let's read a couple of these. Bill, Jeff in Rock Island writes, last fall we moved into a home built in 1942. This spring we need to replace the roof. What shingles do you recommend for the energy rebate? Also, we believe we may need tuck pointing done to the foundation. It is brick, and inside the basement there's a white sealant that chips away like cement. Not exactly sure what material it is. What do you recommend?
Ooh, boy, I don't know what's in that basement. You know, they could have put some plaster on. Depends on the type of foundation it is. They could have put on some plaster. There were some epoxy products that were tried a few years ago to try to hold out water. We're always trying to kind of like putting your finger in the dam once the water gets that far, you know, trying to hold it from coming in any farther. I would try to, I think I'd go the route that he wants to, is tuck point the exterior and dig down and see how the foundation looks on the exterior. If he really wants to do it right, he may have to dig around the foundation and put a waterproofing on the outside to prevent any more damage to the foundation itself, and to keep that basement livable and usable by keeping it dry. As far as the roof goes, you're probably going to have to go to the Department of Energy site and find out exactly what products are eligible for the energy saving grants. I know that when I replace my shingles on my roof, I'm probably going to go, well, unless something else product comes out in the next 10 years or so, I'm going to go with a steel roof. I'll probably go with a product like Decra, D-E-C-R-A. It's a steel roof that looks like shingles. Has a 50-year warranty, and I don't know why it wouldn't last 100 years after you've applied the stuff. Either that or a standing seam steel roof, you know, that looks more like a commercial steel. I definitely want to get away from shingles and go with something that is durable.
Is it a lot more expensive?
It can be. It really depends on what type of steel roof you put on. The Decra, yeah, it's probably three times more than asphalt shingles. But, at least I'm not going to be having them replaced every 10 or 15 years because of hail. Mm. You know, it's pretty hard to see any shingles make their 30-year life because, especially in Iowa, they usually get wind damage, storm damage, or hail damage, and they're replaced anyway.
I don't know. Do you believe in Consumer Reports, Bill? I don't know. I mean, I think it's a wonderful service, but they were recommending in the fall in an article about roofs a certain, and I don't have it in front of me here, but a certain shingle that they were really excited about. It's more expensive, but they thought it was worth the extra money and would last a lot longer. I don't know if you recall that article.
No, I don't. You know, there are some out there that have, they claim to have, a 75-year life, but, that's in a, I would say that's really nice inside of a laboratory, but if it's, I would like to see an asphalt or fiberglass shingle that's going to last 75 years here in Iowa with the weather that we have. That's why I want something that holds up. And I don't know if anybody's been watching some of the, I know on the cable channels, if you have CertainTeed shingles, there's a class action lawsuit on CertainTeed shingles right now. So they may want to, if they're having problems with their CertainTeed shingles, get a hold of the factory, and they may want to go ahead and and help you try to maybe check into how long you've had them and maybe honor a warranty on some quality issues. CertainTeed is a very good company. It's just that they had a poor product there at one time, I think.
Ann in Iowa City, Annie rather, writes, I've been having trouble with my washing machine backing up into my kitchen sink. A sewer service company removed several small tree roots from the main sewer line, but the smaller line that the washing machine drains into is broken about 5 feet down. The sewer service company said the broken line shouldn't create any problems. What do you think?
I would have a plumber come over and take care of that right now.
Okay.
I hope she's not getting any sewer gas but coming into the house.
Yeah, you don't want that.
No, there's a lot of problems with sewer gases that you've seen some issues where some people are very susceptible to sewer gas. They can be talking to you normally, and the next thing they don't have any short-term memory, and sometimes it comes back, sometimes it doesn't. But sewer gas is a very, very strong gas. It's very dangerous. So I'd get a plumber out there today.
Okay.
Good advice. Let's go back to the phones, and we'll go to Rudy, who is calling from Des Moines. Hi, Rudy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a house that's about 10 years old, built by a community college here. It's got all kinds of neat ideas. One of them is something similar to what you talked about. It's got a fan up on the roof, and it's got a duct that goes to each bathroom. And as a matter of fact, I finished my basement, and I run one through my basement. And it runs 24/7 at a very slow speed. Then when you go take a shower, you flip a switch. In my case, I put it into a timer,
sure.
And it kicks up higher. But it runs 24/7. It's a great idea, but now I hear you talking about one that actually exchanges the heat coming out and sends it back down. And I'm always Googling for something to do to the house to make it more efficient. I've never seen that. I'm curious as to where can a person go and look for something like that.
Yeah, it just if you just type, just Google HRV mm-hmm. and or heat recovery ventilators. We've had really good luck with at the college. Every one of our residence hall apartments, each apartment has one. We've been using Venmar just because that's the brand we've been using. There's several other really good brands out, but you know, you put the right timer on. You know, they have a lot of different controls. You can set them up for gases. You can set them up on timers. You know, a moisture sensor. You know, after the house is, you know, after the first year when trying to exhaust a lot of excess moisture out of the building products, a lot of times people will have them, you know, 20 minutes on, 40 minutes off. You know, in fact, the best controls are the ones that really don't have any numbers on them, that you turn the dial and it's just a comfort. So when you feel comfortable, then that's where you leave it, because we get so hung up on numbers sometimes.
So this hooks up to your furnace?
Well, it you can. One way is to have it all separate ducted and have the fresh air after it's gone through the unit. They'll put it into the supply side of the furnace, or they may run it and drop it into a room somewhere to mix with room air. Sometimes if they can't get all the ductwork in, or a little bit cheaper option is they will pull out, instead of having separate ductwork, they'll pull out of the return side of the furnace, run it through the unit, and run the fresh air then to the supply side. But there's still a, you know, an exhaust duct that goes outside, and then there's another duct that brings fresh air in. So you still got four ducts.
Hmm. Okay, I'll look it up. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Rudy, for the call. 866-780-9100. Gene is next, calling from Des Moines. Hi, Gene. How are you today? Gene, let's see. I pressed the wrong button. My fault. Hi, Gene.
Hi. You got me now?
Yes, we do. Go ahead.
Wonderful. I have a house, 1898. I'm concerned about the insulation in the attic. There are 2x8 joists there. I can access it through a fold-down door. And right now it has the powder insulation to the top of the joists, but I don't think that's probably enough to give me the best kind of insulation in the attic, is it?
No, you should have... what town are you in?
Pardon?
What town are you from?
I'm from Des Moines.
Oh, yeah. You know, you should have roughly an R40 to R49 R value in the attic, which, you know, at least, you know, a foot to 16 inches or so of insulation.
Well,
now, could you see the insulation when you're in the attic?
Yes, I can. And that one of the things I'd like to do is to put a light floor on top of the joist so that I can store stuff up there.
Sure.
But I don't know how to create 16-inch joists up there to support a floor in an area.
Yeah, well, sometimes it comes down to design too, because a lot of our ceilings aren't designed to really hold any weight. So you'd have to really, you know, maybe have somebody come over there that knows design loads before you put any weight up in the attic. But I would really think about, you know, if you really want to save some R value or save some energy, if you're going to use the attic very much, I would look at maybe spray foaming in between the rafters, and then that attic space would be similar to temperature to downstairs.
All right, Gene, we have sort of a bad phone line. Gene, we're going to move on. Thanks a lot for
hope
that.
You got that.
Yeah, he was sort of breaking up. We want to mention an email from Pam. In 1969, she writes, I had formaldehyde insulation blown into the walls. Is it still efficient? I ask because when the wind blows from the west-northwest, it's as if there are no walls even.
You know, I tore down a house a long time ago that had the formaldehyde insulation in it, and the cavities were, you know, the studs were 16 inches apart, and the foam was probably 2 inches away from the studs. So it was just kind of centered in that opening. There was probably, you know, like 10 inches of foam left in that 16-inch cavity. So, no, it's not efficient. We ended up tearing that house down, and the only way that we could work with it without having it, you know, turning into dust is I just hosed it down with a garden hose, and it just kind of turned into a milky wet, and it just kind of ran away.
Well, this dangerous stuff, right?
Yeah. Inhaling it, yeah, and it's not good at all. You know, upper respiratory issues, burning eyes, but it's really aged out now, and it's hard to say how much formaldehyde is, you know, actual formaldehyde is left in it.
Mm-hmm.
Probably very, very little. But I would do some research on that, and you know, actually see how much is there after that many years of it, being dry.
Another roofing question from Dean, who's calling from Iowa City. Hello, Dean.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good. I'm a carpenter and contractor in the Iowa City and southern Iowa area, and as much as I try to stay off roofs, I end up on them putting roofing down. And I did want to just do a follow-up on the issue of metal roofing. While it's more expensive to purchase it, it does lay almost twice as fast. For the straight runs, the more commercial-looking kind that you see on pole barns and whatnot. So I tell my customers, what you spend in the initial cost, you end up making up generally in the labor, because you can often get it pre-cut to size. And the only other drawbacks I've really found with it are roofs with a lot of valleys in it. They can be a little tricky to flash. But in the same way that people, when they're designing a home, want to think about window placement for efficiency, if they want to have a metal roof, I suggest they think about the design of the roof as well and try to eliminate as many valleys and roof-to-wall type of connections. But that's it.
Okay,
those are great points. Those are.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought those up. Those are exactly right. We did a steel roof on a small building. Like you say, we got to cut right to the quarter of an inch. They came, you put them down, and you were done. And the same thing with that deck we're roofing. I'm glad you brought that up, because I couldn't believe how fast that those pieces went down compared to asphalt shingles.
Sure. Yeah, you can. It's amazing how fast you can cover a roof with that metal roofing.
Yes, you're right.
What would normally be a 2 or 3 day job turns into an afternoon pretty much if you've got it all there and pre-cut.
Yeah, and it's
so it does
look-
end up saving the homeowner quite a bit of money in the long run.
Okay, thanks a lot for that call, Dean. Very interesting. What do these metal roofs look like, Bill? I mean, colors?
Well, I tell you, the Decker one that looks like shingles, we had two appraisers put down in their appraisal sheet that they were asphalt shingles. So it fooled them. And the standing seam roof, you know, it looks just like you see on a lot of restaurants, a lot of commercial buildings, where it's metal and it's flat, and about every maybe 12 to 15 inches it sticks up about 2 inches, and then it's flat again. You see it an awful lot on commercial buildings because, you know, that's the thing. A commercial building, they don't want to be messing around replacing shingles, you know, every time we get a hailstorm. They want something that's going to hold up and not slow customer traffic.
Right. Becky writes, she emailed talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, after heavy rains, moisture comes up into our basement floor through small cracks in the cement. Is there a product we can use to fill the cracks to keep moisture from coming in? This happens only when it has been raining for extended periods of time or during heavy rainfalls.
Well, first thing I would ask is if they have a sump pump to relieve that pressure. And if they do, and the water's not getting to that sump pump, they may want to put another pump in a different location. Because over the years, you know, there might have been enough fines that have gotten into the soil that it prevents the water from getting to the sump pump. So they want to, there are some products, but there again, you know, you're kind of putting your finger in the dam. You want to relieve that pressure because even though that water's coming up through the cracks, the vapor itself is still coming into the house because it's turning into a vapor and migrating up through the concrete and getting into your air. Okay. So I'd be looking at another sump pump, if nothing else.
866-780-9100, Bill McAnally, Home Improvement Day. Dan is next from Ottumwa. Hello, Dan.
I have a basement floor that I removed some vinyl tile from, and there's black adhesive down there now. And I want to know, do I need to remove that adhesive to repaint the floor, or can I paint over the top of it, or what's your recommendation?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think if you're going to paint down, you're going to have to get that product off. I would look at, you know, like the big box stores or, you know, like Home Depot or something, or like Sherwin-Williams, and find out, because they do have an adhesive remover, you know, and they're usually petroleum based, but there are some new cleaners that take that up, and I don't know if any of them that have the citrus oil in them or not work on that, but boy, you know, that's always been a tough thing to get up off the floor, and you may have to get a hold of a commercial floor tile person to find out exactly what product that, you know, they may sell it.
Okay.
That's tough to get up.
All right. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Let's see who is next. It would be, well, we're waiting for an email to come in. So let me just wait for that. One is coming in right now, and I'll have it in for you in a second. I wanted to ask you, though, about ice dams.
Yeah.
Because this has been a difficult winter, I'm sure, for ice dams. And are they causing more problems than usual?
Yeah, they are this year, especially because of some of the high snow loads that we're getting. All the extra snow that we have, if they have heat loss getting out of the attic, it's melting right underneath the snow and running underneath the snow layer, and then it gets out to that gutter and refreezes again. The other fellow talked a little while ago about design. There's kind of a movement going around right now of, you know, possibly going to more of a 3-foot overhang on a house and then eliminating gutters.
Really?
And have the water dissipate either through landscaping or gravel drainage systems around the house so that you don't have to mess with gutters, and then you get better shading on your windows as well.
Yeah, gutters are such a pain.
Yeah, they are. They're just kind of it's kind of funny. The only time they really work super good is when the rain's not real heavy and there's no leaves in it. I mean, a big heavy rain seems to go right over the top, and you're always messing with them.
Let's go next to Mary, who's calling from Mason City. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I'm glad to hear this subject on the air. I've been wanting to know. We had our windows looked at several years ago, and it would have been $30,000 to replace them. I'm wondering if can you replace only the outside storm, not the inside, and get the same effect?
You can get with applying storm windows, they'll help quite a bit, but I would have a couple more people come by and estimate. Either you've got a huge house.
Well, we have 24 windows.
Oh, yeah. I would have somebody come by now. This is the market for you to get those windows replaced.
But you don't think much of just replacing the storm window.
Well, with the market the way it is, I'd rather see you go ahead and have the windows replaced. Get a price on both. And but you know, it's, you're going to have so much better of a window having them in replaced, because there probably is a lot of heat loss on the actual window itself. If it's the old, is it the old double hungs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
There's, you know, where the weights are inside.
50-year-old house.
Yeah. What's that?
50-year-old house.
Yeah, I would seriously have a couple of, you know, reputable contractors come over and take a look at that and give you a real price. That price was really high.
Is it really?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks very much.
You bet. Thanks.
Keep it up.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Mary. I wanted to read this email because it does seem important. Rebecca writes, on the weekend, I turned on our gas fireplace for the first time in several weeks. Clearly, the flue wasn't opening properly as the flames licked out instead of up.
Ooh.
And there was an immediate gas smell. I turned it off right away, but am now wondering if I have to call someone to look at it. Is it an ice dam that has closed off the vent at the top of the flue?
It could be a lot of things. It could be there could be ice in there. It could be a brick or some concrete has fallen down and hit the damper and you know, controlling that. It could also be pressure differences inside your house. If you were to turn a, let's say your range vent fan on, there's a possibility when you turn that on that you'll get the pressure, it needs air to go out the fan, so the air could be coming down the chimney and then pulling all that back into the room. I would get a heating and ventilation person over there first to take a look at that, because they could do a visual inspection and check that gas smell kind of makes me wonder if it's, you know, if it's a gas fireplace, then you better get a plumber over there too.
Just about a minute left. Let's get one more call. Don from Iowa City. Don?
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Hey, great.
Good.
Hey, you're talking about the thermal emittance of metal roofing.
There you go.
Check out Malarkey Roofing. They've got a brand new shingle that is just barely coming on the market right now called Ecoasis.
Okay.
Got a thermal emittance of about 0.92, 0.93. And I think it's a class 4 hail resistance, and I think the pricing is going to be probably a premium shingle, but not multiples of times of what it is for a metal roof.
Okay, is it still an asphalt base or?
Well, they call it an SBS rubber modified.
Oh, okay.
Asphalt.
Okay.
But it looks like it might be a promising product.
And it's from Malarkey.
Correct. Malarkey.
Great.
Well, that's not so much malarkey, but.
No. Don's full of malarkey, yep.
Yes, I am.
Don, thanks for the call. Appreciate
hey, thanks,
it very much.
Don.
Hey, thanks, Bill.
Yep, bye-bye.
We're out of time. Bill McAnally, Iowa Central Community College Industrial Technology Program. Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate the time away from your conference in Des Moines. And get down for those donuts before they disappear.
Yep, I sure will. And I want to say hi to my mom. She's listening today.
Okay, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again in just a few weeks.
All
righty. Appreciate it.
Yep.
Talk of Iowa today, production assistant is Christoph Mai. Talk of Iowa, a production of Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Dennis Reese. Stay tuned next for Fresh Air.